The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. Welcome to the Arty Girl Podcast, where we shine a spotlight on the arts and culture of Palm Beach County. I'm Sarah LaPierre, your host, and I'm here today with a very special guest, the president and CEO of the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. Since he's been here since 2018, he has started many incredible initiatives, and we're very excited to talk to him today about his journey, what he sees for the future of the arts in Palm Beach County, and what else is developing? So welcome to the podcast, Dave Lawrence. Dave, how's it going?
I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much. How exciting.
I know. It's very exciting that you're here today to talk to us. So a little bit of an introduction would be great. I would love to know a little bit of, maybe let's start with some personal history, how you got involved in arts advocacy and how that brought you to Florida.
So I born and raised in central Indiana. Lived in Indianapolis most of my formative years. And I went to college at DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana, small liberal arts school. And one of the perks there is you can occasionally do a semester off campus. So I studied, I went to Philadelphia. They had this really cool program where you had to find your own place to live, had to go through job interviews, and they had, you basically interned for 4 days of the week. Okay. With a real company. So, you know, you went through the whole thing of dealing with landlords and interviews and all of that stuff.
All the good life experience.
All the big life experience, right. And then the fifth day you took classes at a place called the Philadelphia Center. So I took a public art in the city course. And I interned at a place called Electric Factory Concerts, which is a big concert promoter. You're probably too young for this, but they were the ones that did Live Aid way back in the late 80s.
Okay, absolutely.
Yeah, so big, huge concert promoter. I worked in the marketing and public relations area. I grew up as a cellist and I played saxophone. I was in the marching band, the orchestra. I sang in the choir. I was in theater, did all that sort of stuff. So the arts have always been sort of in my in my blood. And suddenly in this internship, here was this, you know, oh, I could make money and still be around promoting and supporting creative people. And, you know, at that point, sort of a light bulb went off. I thought I was going to go into advertising. So when I graduated from DePaul, I took an internship at Clues Hall, which is a big performing arts center attached to Butler University. Very similar in size to the Kravis Center for the Performing Arts. And from there, it sort of took off. And so I have worked in nonprofit arts administration my entire career.
That sounds like it was the perfect preparation to lead you to the Cultural Council and like Palm Beach County, right? What an amazing background.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. So prior to coming here, I was the president and CEO of the Arts Council of Indianapolis. And we used out-of-state grant panelists there. And so I brought Rena Blades, who was the CEO of the Cultural Council, up to Indianapolis to serve on my panel in 2012. And she said, okay, well, next year you need to come down and serve on my panel. So amazing. I came down here in 2013 and absolutely fell in love with it. And I was getting ready to leave and I said, Rena, I am so jealous of this. And she said, well, just keep your eyes and ears open and you never know. And so, you know, 5 years later, she announced her retirement and got a call from the folks that were interested in talking to me about the job. So
what a gift. That's such a cool trade-off that got to happen. And you got a little taste and knew that you were interested in this area and this kind of scene that was developing here.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you don't know that you're having a life-changing moment when you have a life-changing moment, you know, it's kind of cool how that works sometimes.
That's nice. So can you tell us a little bit more about what the Cultural Council is and what they do?
The easiest way to think about it is my staff doesn't like when I talk about it this way because they want me to use more flowery language about this. The easiest way to think about us is a chamber of commerce for the arts.
Okay.
Yeah. We're what's called a local arts service agency. There are about 4,500 of these across the country in all various shapes and sizes. Some that work directly with city governments, some are that are private 501c3s like we are, some that are strictly fundraising organizations, all different kinds, but each of them has several core functions. Most of them re-grant funds, which is one of our key things that we do. All of them are sort of advocacy organizations that promote and support arts development and sustainability in communities. And then they go from there. So most of them also have ways to support individual professional artists as well.
Right, which I've seen so much more of, I feel like, in the past couple of years at the council, which has been great to see those kind of developments and these different programs and initiatives that come up. What are the impacts that you've seen since you've been here for Palm Beach County for the arts sector, that you've seen things change and flux and something that you're excited about?
You know, one of the things that I've been most impressed about, my sixth anniversary at the council is August 20th. So
oh, wow.
6 years.
Okay.
It's flown. But one of the things that has always impressed me about Palm Beach County and the cultural sector is there is a real belief across all sectors that arts and culture are important. And you don't find that in a lot of communities. And I think there's an understanding here of how it contributes to quality of life, how it's important to arts education, how it's important to tourism, how it's important to our economy and all of those things. So that's one of the things that I feel we're sort of a leg up on many, many other communities across the country, is just this understanding that, yeah, it's important. And so I've really enjoyed, when I got to the council, what an incredible organization this is, a real strong history of support to the community, wonderful programs, great sort of community presence. And so it was a really fun opportunity for me to jump in and sort of put my stamp on this. One of the things that I feel is really important is if we are only focusing on cultural organizations, we're really only talking about half of the pie, right? Sure. We need to make sure that we are supporting and growing our artist community. And I use the term artist to talk about everybody. So dancers, singers, poets, musicians,
absolutely. We want to cover all of the genres.
Right. Because sometimes people say, oh, artists, you're only talking about painters, right? But when we talk about artists, we're talking about creative professionals or in all of those disciplines. So that's been a challenge, but a very exciting one to see the growth and development of our artist services program that I think is really taken off in the last few years. So it's great to see that people are recognizing that.
And the artist services, that covers things, I'm thinking of like the Institute for Cultural Advancement. That's a part of that service where you are offering, is it monthly in season? I think workshops that are free to artists, free to creative professionals that can come in and learn from an expert, learn about packing and shipping art. I actually sat in on one that you provided, which was about grant applications, which was incredibly insightful, and I gained a lot of wisdom from it. So there's some really interesting things that you're making available to the artists here, which, yeah, I love to see. What do you think is unique to the arts sector in this area?
You know, one of the things that I like to tout is even within our cultural sector, we're really a choose-your-own-adventure kind of community. Palm Beach County is huge, right?
Yeah.
And you can have such very different experiences from one end of the county or one corner to the other. And I think that's a real strength and something that we can really play up. So, you know, if you spend time up in beautiful Jupiter and Juneau and get to go to Loggerhead and Loxahatchee and see the lighthouse and all of that, such a different experience from the vibrancy and the hustle and bustle of downtown West Palm Beach and everything that's going on there. And I think the other thing that we are really fortunate here is the quality of cultural offerings and the organizations that are here.
Absolutely.
Are truly, you know, we use that term world class, and I try not to use it because it gets overused. I'll use it here. We have world class cultural institutions.
Yeah, I would 100% back that up. I mean, we've got the Norton Museum, we've got the Kravis Center. They're practically within walking distance of each other. Not in the summer. Don't try that. Right. But I mean, we've got some really amazing places and players that people can enjoy here.
And the momentum has sort of never stopped, you know? I'm so excited about Cox Science Center and Aquarium and the huge transformation that organization is going through. Yeah. And then you think about the new Center for Arts and Innovation that's going to be coming to Boca Raton. So, you know, from one end of the county to the other, you know, Bush Wildlife just opened a new facility up there, and Loggerhead, of course, more than doubled their size. Yeah. So, you know, there is this desire for our cultural organizations to continue to throw open their doors and offer and welcome even more people in. And I think that's a real strength for us too.
Yeah. So we've talked about a few of the big ones. We've hit on a couple names that people probably recognize. Are there any secret gems that people should be aware of? Maybe a favorite of yours that you think everybody in Palm Beach County should have to visit if you come here or if you live here.
Now, I will say this. I have to love all my children equally.
I hear you. You're right? A good dad.
I am a big theater person. Mm-hmm. And it's not a secret, but I sure wish that more people would get out and discover Palm Beach Drama Works.
Okay. Yeah.
Right downtown on, in West Palm on Clematis. They do world premieres. They do just astounding productions. You know, here's another term that gets thrown away. You could be on Broadway. You know, that everybody always says that.
Right.
I'm a big Broadway person. I go 3 or 4 times a year to see everything. And I can guarantee you that some of the things that I've seen on stage at Drama Works could rival any of the productions that I've seen in New York.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful playhouse. I mean, I've been there a few times, admittedly not as many as I probably should have been, but there's also things that I love, like, you know, we have performances at the Rinker Theater, which is the little theater adjacent to Kravis, and productions that are hiring local actors, which I love to see, knowing that these companies are really using the talent that's in Palm Beach County is always exciting to me.
You know, that's a really good point. As much as everybody sort of loves the touring Broadway shows that come in and they play a very important part in our cultural fabric, to support live local theater and events is really important too. What Andrew Cato and the folks at Maltz Jupiter Theater are doing, and what Bill and Sue Ellen are doing at Palm Beach Drama Works, that are, you know, using local craftspeople, local actors, local musicians, all of that stuff is so important to help our economy here in Palm Beach County. And, you know, each of these theaters are doing world premieres and works that the rest of the country can sort of look at and say, wow, that happened right here in Palm Beach County.
Absolutely. So,
you know, a couple of other things that I think are sort of maybe not, again, not secrets or hidden gems, but things that I think, you know, more people need to like avail themselves of. The Murakami.
Oh, absolutely. Just,
I mean, if you need time to, we were talking about zenning out earlier, and if you need, that's a real place
to do. If you need a moment in nature, it's incredible to walk around there, and you can just really, really zen out, like you said. Yeah, it's a beautiful, I mean, for that matter too, a little bit, you know, a little bit closer to my home anyway in West Palm Beach is the Mounts Botanical, which again, not a hidden gem, but boy, it's one that I am always telling people about. And they have shows that come through. They have outdoor art exhibits. I mean, they've had some pretty fun and exciting things. They had that incredible sculptor, I'm going to forget his name, but who sculpted the house out of willow bark.
Patrick.
Yes.
Yes. I went and helped one day.
Oh, did you? Did you volunteer? Yeah,
it was great.
That's amazing.
I painted the end of the sticks with mud. It was, I was really proud of my contribution. But yeah, another zen out place is the Ann Norton Sculpture Garden.
Oh, completely.
Gorgeous facility. Absolutely beautiful. And the programming they do there, both in the house and then out in the gardens, is just wonderful.
And her studio is just one of those spaces where, you know, as an artist, you walk in and it feels sacred. I mean, it's incredible.
It feels almost otherworldly when you're in there. I mean, yeah, it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt that those monumental sculptures are in there and all that, but it feels like Anne's presence is there, and it otherworldly is the only thing that I can really equate that to.
And the fact that garden is, you know, specifically pollinator local friendly, like they're trying to attract and help keep a safe space for birds, bugs, and pollinators that are, you know, landing in our area, and keep them free of pesticides, and just give them a place to, you know, a sanctuary, literally, for people and for the pollinators. It's beautiful.
Phenomenal horticulturalists there. They really know their stuff. You know, and then we can't forget about music. I mean, they're, you know, Arts Garage is such a fun place to hear. And they've got such a great jazz and blues series that they do. You know, so top to bottom, there are, you know, cultural activities that people say, oh, I'll get there sometime. Mm-hmm. I challenge your listeners to find one this season and go do it that they've never done before. And I think that they'll be really pleasantly surprised and say, I got to put this back on my list.
I agree. Yeah, I know there's going to be some good ones coming up. Let's talk a little bit about the programs that the Cultural Council offers. So you have something that's called the Resiliency Fund, and you do the Artist Relief Fund. And those have certainly been crucial for artists, for the economy, especially for post-COVID. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how those operate?
So those programs have essentially ended at this point because those were really COVID era programs. Okay. You know, one of the things that I feel it's really important for a local arts service agency to do is to be that shoulder at any one time that an organization can lean on, cry on, whatever they need to do, right? And, you know, we found ourselves in that situation in COVID to say, we've got to innovate out of this. We've got to help our artists and organizations through this critical time. And so we got right to work. You know, it was a very confusing time. You know, there were so many, you know, and think about all the safety precautions that theater companies had to go through, you know, with musicians in the pit and actors on the stage and stagehands behind and figuring out when to mask and how do we do all of this. I mean, it was a horrible time. We don't need to relive all that. Yeah. But, you know, we thought, okay, how can we make sure that once the the green light is given to go, that we can get the lights on and the actors back on stage and the people painting just as quickly as possible. So we did that through two funds. One was the Cultural Resiliency Fund, and that was created for cultural organizations. Mm-hmm. And what it ended up turning into was a program. There were PPP loans that organizations could get, but not everybody was eligible for those. So there was a swath of organizations in Palm Beach County that were not eligible for those, but still needed support. And so that's where the Cultural Resiliency Fund came in and provided funding just to help them do whatever they needed to do to keep lights on, people supported and paid.
That carried that blind spot area that was just missed.
Right.
That's incredible. And how about the YES Initiative? This is an ongoing initiative.
Yeah. So the YES Initiative is the Year of Extraordinary Support. So it started last November. Yeah. So we'll wrap it up this November, but it is a year of funding. It is the largest single investment that the Cultural Council's ever made back into the community. It's now grown to, it was 12.6, now it's $13.4 million.
That's incredible.
It's one of the things of which I'm most proud. And it was just this sort of weird confluence of all of this funding that came together at the same time. A few years ago, we did a cultural needs assessment of both artists and organizations. And this was, again, coming out of COVID. We wanted to know what was needed at this point. Mm-hmm. All right, now that we're sort of beyond the horribleness, you know, what do you guys need? We know money, but what do you need?
Right.
So we've kept that list and we started cobbling together grant programs and initiatives and ideas that could help address some of those things that we saw in the needs assessment. And so that's how YES came about. So it's comprised of several different major funds. One of them is a $3.8 million fund called the Palm Beach County Cultural Capital Fund. And we did this in coordination and at the generosity of the county that actually put the funding in for this program using some COVID dollars to help nine organizations that were creating new visitor services or new visitor experiences and making their buildings more welcoming. Bush Wildlife was one of the organizations that received some of that funding.
That's amazing.
So that was $3.8 million. We have a new $2 million arts and cultural education fund that was funded by the Frederick A. DeLuca Foundation that arts organizations of all shapes and sizes can use for field trips, for after school arts enrichment programs, for music lessons, anything and everything that is geared to helping arts in education. So we're really excited about that. We expanded our Artist Innovation Fellowship program. Mm-hmm. This was the third round of this program. We just announced 10 new fellows.
Very exciting.
That each received $7,500. And this is really to help them get to that next plateau in their career, whatever it is.
Right.
We're not going to tell them how to spend it. They know what they need. And so this is an opportunity for them to do that.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity for growth as an artist to not only say, okay, I have now the means to do this project that they've probably been thinking about doing for a while, but now they also have the opportunity of a little bit of a platform, or a lot of bit of a platform, really, to, you know, expose their work, to have an audience, to have people seeing this thing that they've been wanting to create. It's a very exciting place to be for an artist.
And you know, the other piece to that I don't think we really acknowledged enough was, and I'll never forget this, a choreographer that received the fellowship, she works out in Belgrade and Pahokee in round two. We bring the fellows together three or four times throughout the fellowship, just say, how's it going? What are you learning? You know, that sort of stuff. And what she said to me during one of those meetings, she said, this gave me the opportunity to breathe. Mm. And that sense of validation almost to these artists is more important than the dollar. The dollars are great, right? But it's just the space, the ability to breathe, and the ability to say, what I'm doing matters.
Yes, yeah, someone who are paying says, attention to this. I see you. What you have to offer is valuable and worthy, and we want more of it. Please go and do your thing.
Right. And I think that I want to try to, as much as we can, lean into that more, you know, allow them that opportunity. In fact, one of the pieces that she created was called Breathe. She performed it at the showcase. And, you know, we were all crying because it was incredible. And it meant so much because of what she had said. And, you know, everyone's looking at us like, why are you all crying? You're like, never mind. But, you know, that I think that we can never underestimate the importance of these opportunities for recognition, for support, and for just saying what you do matters.
Of course.
That means a lot to artists.
Incredibly.
To everyone, right?
So one of your titles, Chief Arts Advocate for Palm Beach County. That's a big one, but I love it. It's very exciting. And you know, it says that you have this incredible passion and you have something that you have a spotlight that you're able to shine around. Is there anything within these programs that you're particularly excited about that's upcoming, whether it's within YES, within a fellowship? Is there anything that's in the works that we could hear about?
There are two new YES initiatives that, one, we have applications currently open, and one that's going to be launching this fall that's still part of the program. The first is called the Arts Administrators of Color Fellowship Program. What we really want to make sure that we're doing is amplifying diverse voices in arts and culture, providing new pathways to leadership and opportunity. And so that program is going to launch. It starts in October, I believe, and it's going to be a 10-month program for emerging and sort of mid-career arts administrators of color to really hone their skills, do some travel to professional conferences and those sort of things, network with each other, and hopefully we can help amplify those voices in our community. The other program that I'm excited about is, so we've got the Artist Innovation Fellowship. It's sort of for, I'll call them seasoned artists, right? Okay. Those that are really established in their careers and know exactly where they want to go. Mm-hmm. But we also are going to create this new Emerging Artist Prize that's going to look at artists at the other end of the spectrum. So those that might just be getting out of art school, or those that just might be starting their practice, how can we support them to keep them here in Palm Beach County, creating, doing new work, doing exciting things and all of that. So I believe at the end of September, early October, we'll be launching the guidelines and application materials for that. There's money with that, mentorship opportunities. There might even be some studio residency opportunities for artists through this. So we're really, really excited about that program too.
That's definitely exciting. And I'll give you the opportunity again to let people know how to get involved. But with that being said, if you're an artist in Palm Beach County, how does one get involved with the Cultural Council? Where do they start?
Great question. The easiest thing to do is go to our website, palmbeachculture.com. There are a lot of free resources and opportunities there. If you're an artist, there are two things you need to do right away. Sign up for the Artist e-newsletter. It comes out, I believe, once a month.
Absolutely. I'm on that newsletter.
Good. you get calls to artists, grant opportunities, exhibition opportunities, performance opportunities. It's a really good sort of listing from, you know, we collect all that information from variety of places. So it's a sort of one-stop shop for you.
And can I tell the artists who are watching this really quick, that is truly a newsletter that you don't want to miss. It's one that within my group of artist friends always gets discussed, gets brought up, and we make sure that it's sent out that if, you know, if somebody's not on that list and they missed it, we forward that or we share that in the group chats and say, hey, pay attention here because this, it has immense value. Like you said, there's calls to artists. There's just things that you don't want to miss as a professional artist in this area.
Right. And the other thing is we have a free artist database. Mm-hmm. And what that means is you can create your own entry on there, upload samples of your work, links to videos of performances, whatever it is that you do. And again, when we're talking about artists, this is artists of any discipline. And we use that then because we get calls all the time to say, hey, we're looking for a folk musician that can do this, or we're looking for an abstract painter that can do this. And we send them to the database and they source those inquiries directly from the database. And again, that's free. So those are two really quick things that you can do when you go directly to our website. If people are at cultural organizations and they want to get more involved, we also have a calendar of events there. Mm-hmm. That's how the Cultural Council was started back in 78 by Alexander Dreyfus. He started the Cultural Council as a calendar of events so that the families of all of the corporate people that were being lured down to work here in Palm Beach County would have something to do on the weekends.
They had a reason to stay and be happy living here because they had amazing cultural opportunities.
Yeah.
I like that little bit of history. Thank you.
There you go. So that we have thousands of things on there. You can search for an event happening this weekend in a month. You can look for child-friendly things. You know, any of that sort of stuff is available through that calendar of events. Yeah. And, you know, there's all sorts of other free resources on there. Again, for artists and cultural organizations, we talked about a little bit the Institute for Cultural Advancement, which is free professional development, you know, not only for artists, but for cultural organizations as well, writing grant applications, working with boards of directors. Ben Sterling did a fabulous a fundraising session last month on how to be a fundraising rock star. So there's all sorts of great sessions.
And it comes with coffee and snacks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Those are incredible ways to get involved. I also love to tell people, come to the shows. The exhibits are incredible. If you're an artist, if you're somebody who appreciates that world, or if you're trying to just get involved a little bit, I mean, some of the exhibits you've had, all of them, let's say, are just exciting. They're always different. There's always something really fresh going on in there. Is there an exhibit on right now?
Not yet. We're sort of cleaning and repainting.
It's season, right? Yeah. We're getting ready for the what's coming up.
That's right. Yeah. So our building, our headquarters is in Lake Worth Beach. It's a late 40s Art Deco movie theater that has been transformed into
an
art space.
Beautiful building. Yeah.
And yeah, we're very fortunate to get to be in that building. We have three gallery spaces. We have a visitor information center, and we have the Rowe Green Uniquely Palm Beach store. So artists can sign their works there, and people can find pottery and scarves and paintings and, you know, information and books from our cultural institutions, all that sort of stuff. But we do three main gallery exhibitions each year that rotate. And the first one will be opening in late November this year. It's called Quintessentially We. And it's just going to celebrate who we are as people. However you come, that's what we're celebrating.
I'm looking forward to that one. So we've talked about the council. We've talked about a little bit of, you know, how you work and the programs you do there. I'd love to get a little bit more personal. And I just wanted to ask, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but you mentioned you grew up playing the cello, you sang in choir, you were involved in very musical arts. And you mentioned to me earlier that you also have a side art that you like to participate in, ceramics, and you throw. And tell me what that means to you to have that, you know, as an outlet? Is it something where you space out into and you can just focus on? Are you producing work for yourself? Are you showing it anywhere? How does that come into your life?
So for many, many years, I would get my cello out and saw around on that for a while. But when you don't play for a long time, you lose your calluses on your fingers and it starts to hurt and I'm getting old and then my back hurts and the fingers hurt. And so that didn't become a viable option. Yeah. And I collect ceramics and glass work and I wanted to do it myself. So about 5 years ago, I started taking some pottery courses and I when we talk about zoning out, mm-hmm. it is very much, I can lose an entire Saturday when I'm in the studio.
And I mean, you're wheel throwing, so it's almost hypnotic, right?
Yeah, right. But it is that, you know, relentless pursuit of perfection that sort of drives me with my pieces.
You're not alone in that artistic trait.
And so that can be very distracting, you know, I can't equate myself to, you know, somebody that is making their go at it as a professional artist. But I will say that, I think it's important for people to have a personal creative practice just to, you know, find those opportunities to decompress, to, use different muscles, literally and figuratively.
Absolutely.
Know? So I've been in a few, of the artist shows at the Armory. I haven't started selling work yet. I'm too particular about it at this point, but a lot of people are getting pottery as gifts, the last few years. So that's,
oh, good. Lucky them. That's great.
Hope it's lucky. I hope.
Well, speaking of maybe it's not necessarily the pottery, but I would love to know what's one of your proudest moments of your career?
You know, I have a couple. One of them had to be the 46 for 46 citywide mural initiative in Indianapolis that was connected to Super Bowl 46. I was driving home from work one day and I was mad because the arts were not being represented in this huge citywide celebration that was going to be taking place. And I was mad. And that same day, there was an article that came out in the Business Journal in Indianapolis that said, it was called Indy's Fix-It List, and it was places in the city that needed to be spruced up before the eyes of the world were on Indianapolis. Sure. So I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the number 46, and I said, all right, let's do something bold. I said, let's paint 46 murals all over the city of Indianapolis for the Super Bowl. And so I made it happen somehow. I don't know how. Well, the final brush was put down 2 weeks before the game. And the only way that happened is it was an unusually warm January Indianapolis.
I didn't even think about that being very Florida girl.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it was, I think 45 degrees when they were able to, you can't paint murals if it falls below 40. So we lucked out, but yeah, so it received international press. It reignited Indy's, adventure in public art. It reset expectations. Mm. It put the Arts Council on the map. It made the arts relevant in a way that they might not have been in the past. And I'm not saying this all to pat myself on the back. I'm saying this now that I've had, you know, 12 years now that I've seen the continued growth and how it's still talked about in Indianapolis and how some of those murals are still revered. And
I'm sure, I mean, you know, 46 murals is unignorable.
Right.
That's incredible. I mean, right. Bringing together all the artists, all of the backlog things that have to come together for those to line up and to be in time.
Right.
That's an amazing feat.
Boy, I got really good with city permitting.
I bet.
Easement agreements and all that. Oh boy. That, you know, everybody says, oh, you get to work in the arts. That must be so much fun. And I said, yeah, you're doing a lot of non-art stuff a lot of times too. But you know, the other thing that, I know that is I'm very proud of and will continue to make huge impacts is the Year of Extraordinary Support. What we've been able to pull together and the coalition of funders and city and county officials and artists and organizations that are benefiting from this and how our board and staff just embraced this. It's pretty extraordinary, and I'm exceptionally proud of the team and what we've been able to do through this.
Absolutely. So you should be. It's an incredible amount of impact that we've already seen it have in Palm Beach County.
Thank you.
So looking forward, what are some, you know, some of these upcoming things? How are they leading into the transformation of the art sector in Palm Beach County?
So we face continued challenges from screens, iPads, computers, cell phones, staying relevant and fighting against time, people's time is something that the arts and cultural community is very adept at, but will need to continue to innovate and challenge the notions of what it means to have an arts experience, right? I think right now I have to say Diane Quinn at the Kravis Center is just doing incredible work, and the space station exhibition that's going on this summer, where you put on the VR glasses and all of that, that was using a space that was typically dark during the summer, and now it's sort of, there's this buzz about, I was at the grocery store and heard people talking about, we went to the Kravis and put these things on, and it was so cool. And
I went too. We had a great experience, and let me tell you, it was probably one of my favorite summer activities thus far, because you could have this incredible VR, like really new to me and new to a lot of people experience. And of course, a completely different perspective of the International Space Station than I've ever been able to see.
Right.
And it was all indoors and in AC.
In the AC,
it was
right?
My favorite combo. It
means a lot to us down here, right? Yeah. And I think, so that was an innovative idea.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I think that we're going to have to continue to push the boundaries and to create innovative experiences. It's also more important than ever before to make sure that we are welcoming absolutely everybody in our community to arts and culture. All of us at the Cultural Council believe the arts are for all. And when we say all, we mean all. So this means we're going to have to take a very close look at all of our programs and services, the collective we as a sector, to figure out how can we make sure that we're creating a sense of belonging in our cultural institutions? How can we create programs where everybody in the audience can say, I see myself in that.
Absolutely.
Or that means something to me, right? And so, you know, we throw around these terms, diversity, equity, and inclusion and all of that, but we really have to take these concepts to heart. And we really have to, I think it's a survivability of the sector, situation for arts and culture to make sure that the programming that we're doing is relevant, it's impactful, and it's meaningful to all segments of our community. There are pockets of audiences arts organizations don't even know they have out there, right? We've got groups that are doing some really good stuff in this realm, and I just want to see all of us continue this work to make sure that the experiences we're offering are as welcoming as they can be.
Yeah, it's incredible to see. And you want people from every sector, and, you know, whether you're a professional in the arts world or a resident here or a tourist here, you want people to, like you said, feel welcomed, feel like they have a space, feel like they have a sense of belonging and that they can see themselves represented and find, you know, some inspiration, some call to action from the incredible art that's here.
Right.
You
know, there's a lot of talk right now. We had a devastating blow this summer when the governor vetoed arts funding at the state level, which was a $32 million hit to arts and cultural organizations around the state, just over 3.1 million here in Palm Beach County. But these dollars were what's called operating support for most of these organizations. So they could, you know, it wasn't tied to a specific program. They could use it for whatever they needed. Operating support grants are the most coveted by arts organizations, but the hardest to get. Okay. So we really were depending on those dollars for organizations to continue to do the work that they're doing. And when that went away in the stroke of the pen, it put cultural organizations really at a precarious place. And this is just after they're crawling out of the abyss of COVID, right? So precisely not the time to have something like this happen. So funding is going to continue to be a challenge for cultural organizations. To get really in the weeds with this, I think we need to find some dedicated revenue streams from somewhere that can support arts and cultural activities that aren't going to be political small p footballs where they're cut, you know, it's the first thing to go all the time.
Right.
We've got to be able to find these revenue streams. If everybody believes in the power of arts and culture, you know, and understand it to economy, to tourism, to education, to quality of life, and we need to be taking that bold step to create those avenues so that we can keep programs happening in schools and our community centers and our parks so that people can keep having transformative experiences through arts and culture.
Absolutely. Keep offering what they are and have the potential to grow, right? That's the ultimate goal, that things can continue to evolve with the community as we're expanding a lot. I mean, we've seen so much growth in Palm Beach County in a very short amount of time that surely our arts programming, our, you know, work here just needs to be that much more involved and that much more uplifted and carried into the growth that we see with, you know, new residents.
It's an interesting statistic that always sort of stops people in their tracks is for, let's take an opera production. Only about 30% of the ticket sales, or ticket sales only account for about 30% of the cost to put on that opera. So opera companies and theater companies, everybody has to rely on contributed income to make up that 70%, right? So that's an enormous hill for them to climb with every production that they put on, with every exhibition that they hang, you know? So it's important that we have, foundations and government support. We're blessed in Palm Beach County to have very generous individual philanthropists and donors that are helping to bridge the gap in many cases. But even that's not enough in some instances, right? And, you know, the bigger the institution, sometimes the easier it is for them to attract the kind of donors that will be able to support those institutions. I worry a lot about our smaller organizations, organizations of color that might not have those ginormous audience bases to get those sort of contributions from. So, you know, funding is going to continue to be a challenge. And I know that, you know, that is sort of the drum that we bang all the time, you know, and we talked about it. Attending things. That's one of the things that another way that I challenge people right now is if you want to make a difference in arts and culture and you want to show that it's important to you, attend.
Oh yeah. Show up and engage.
Show up and see something. Go buy a ticket. Challenge yourself with something you've never done before.
And beyond that, go talk to somebody about it then. If you've gone to it, invite a friend, bring a family member out, and or go have a conversation with somebody about it and encourage the next person to go, to attend, to support.
Some of my favorite conversations are about a theater production that we just saw and just like being able to think, oh, do you remember when this happened? What do you think that meant? You know, it's that's part of the beauty of the arts is the experience that you take with you from that and how that can enrich our lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to check in and see what time we're looking at. Alex, can you hear me? How are we doing on time? I don't know when we actually started.
Yeah, you just hit 40 minutes.
Okay. All right, good. So we've got a few questions and then we can get close to wrapping up here. I think that's perfect. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you really wanted to touch on?
I'm just looking through the questions.
Sure. Inside.
No, we're getting through them. This is good. Yeah, wherever you want to go, I'm good.
Okay.
We're hitting it.
Love it. Oops. I like this one. So I know it's not always the most comfortable thing to just talk about yourself and your achievements and what you do for work, for 40 minutes. I appreciate all the information that you shared and the story, but I would love to hear maybe about a mentor that you've had or somebody who's challenged you and maybe lit some sort of spark. Is there anybody that you'd like to share or talk about?
I've been blessed to have a number of mentors in my career that I've taken bits and pieces from all of them. My first one, her name was Diana Nearing. She was a fierce advocate for arts and culture, and a phenomenal fundraiser and a very intimidating woman. I mean, she was somebody you didn't mess with, right? But somehow she took me under her wing. And soon after I began working with her and learning from her, she developed breast cancer. Mm. And I remember my last meeting with her was 2 weeks before she passed. So from her, I learned this dogged determination and this will to continue and to push forward. And in one article about me at some point, somebody called me tenacious. And I thought, that's Diana. That was really, it really touched me because I thought, that's Diana. What she imparted in me stuck with me, you know?
That's incredible.
The other one that has stuck with me is among many, there was a board member for an organization of which I was the executive director. His name is Glenn White. He has also since passed. But he was one of the few, at that point, African-American board members He was recognized in the community, and nobody else was really stepping up to the plate. Mm. I said to Glenn, how do we make sure that I'm getting people that look like you in my audience? How do we begin this? And he said to me, you got to see him in the audience, in the boardroom, on stage, and in the box office. You've got to see them everywhere. And I had a number of very difficult conversations with him, very sort of, pointed conversations about what it means to be inclusive. Mm. And I learned so much from him, and it has sort of been one of the sort of cornerstones of my career that to understand that the arts really are for all means that means every aspect of arts and culture and the whole experience needs to be driven towards that as well. And the results can be just absolutely magical, when the community feels included and represented, it makes all the difference in the world. So, those are two experiences that I can point to where I've had these incredible mentors that, I give this piece of advice to young people that are just starting out in this, be a sponge, absorb every bit of it that you can, because that's, you never know where you're going to get those gems and really get that inspiration.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. Thank you for that reflection. That's really kind of the question that I was going to end with too. So you already answered it right there, which is, what would you say to the next generation? Somebody who's really looking to maybe get into a career that follows a path of arts advocacy and administration in the arts. Is there any other words of advice that you might have?
Yeah. So for really young folks that are just getting out of college or just trying to start into this, my piece of advice is start at a small nonprofit organization, wear as many hats as you mm-hmm. can. That's how I started. I was the first administrative director, the first full-time paid staff member for a 200 voice volunteer chorus in Indianapolis. And so I was the box office, the marketer, the board representative, the operations manager. I did all of it, right? And I learned so much about each of those areas. And I think that's really important. Now, small organizations are hard to get into because they have small staffs. Turnover is not, mm-hmm. it's more of a challenge. But boy, if you have that opportunity to get in there and be a sponge and learn from as many different folks as you can, it's life-changing. It really is. And as far as, our the work that we do at the Cultural Council is a little bit different from their cultural organizations because we're either the soil or the umbrella. You know, we're either tending the soil underneath and helping the arts organizations grow. Mm-hmm. We're the umbrella organization that's protecting everybody from the rain, right? Yeah. So we have to have this 30,000 foot view at all times with what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so a lot of our work is behind the scenes. A lot of our work is not sexy or exciting, you know, but it's creating the fertile soil or creating policy or creating the opportunities and collaborations and coalitions that can make things happen, right? And I think that one of the best things that we can do as a local arts service agency, and I guess this could extend to cultural organization, arts administrators, is get out of the way. Let the art happen. You know, I am constantly amazed and inspired by the artists that have more talent in their little finger than most of us could ever hope for, right? And all I want to do is get out of the way and allow them to do what it is that they do. And when that happens, there's real magic there. You know, when that's where somebody says, how can you find joy in the work that you're doing? And for me, it's seeing that happen. You know, understanding that the process or the fertile soil or whatever it is that I did and then stepped away from allowed this beautiful thing to happen, that I might have played a small part in allowing an audience member to have the reaction that they did, yeah, or to have an artist get that aha moment that, you know, they were really struggling with. And through the time and space and the ability to breathe, they were able to figure that out. If I can have a small part in figuring that out, then I think, you know, that's where I think the real magic is. So once people have absorbed and sponged all that stuff in, do what you do and then get out of the way and let the magic happen. You know, I think that's
really
important.
That's great advice. Yeah, it really is. Well, I think that's a perfect place to end it. Thank you so much for sharing your story, your passion for the arts, for telling us about the Cultural Council and how you operate and how you support the arts district here. We just couldn't be more excited to share this with our audience. So thank you again for being here today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure.